Thank you for joining us today. So glad that you're here. Today is a special day for our church as we send off our graduates into adulthood. And so if this is your first time here, my name is Nick Hutchins. I'm the student minister at Northeast Church, not usually filling this space, but it's always a privilege to have that opportunity. And so today is a day that for many years as parents you anticipate, but it seems so far away when your kids are young. And then as they reach the high school years, everything begins to speed up. And so you've thought about this season of your kid's life for a really, really long time. And so I know as today I want to begin just by saying thank you. I know as a parent myself, the goals and the things that we want for our children are just through the roof. But also fully aware that as a parent, woefully inadequate to shape for me the hearts of two girls all alone. And so for those of you guys that have filled in Kidmen, thank you so much. Maybe it was a season, maybe it was their entire time all the way through the elementary hallway. Thank you for showing up every Sunday. Very often it's a thankless job, but on Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays as you prep to put together a lesson and a song and a craft to point our young people to Jesus, it matters. To Grady for all those years, and now for Noah to spend the incredible amount of time that it takes to be up here and to be clear and coherent and to say something that lands in the heart of a 15, 16-year-old kid is a bit challenging, and so thank you for what you do. That for hundreds, if not thousands, of opportunities that our kids have had opportunity to sit here and to hear a fresh word from the Lord that's helped shape their hearts, and ultimately to you parents, you've been in the grind for years now. You're the one that's up late at night and having conversations over coffee and wondering, what do we do here and what do we do here? Our girls make fun of us because now that we're older, we go to bed early, and it's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting trying to raise a couple of kids. And so for parents, you've been in the game. You have fought tooth and nail for your kids. And so for those of you that have just spoken a kid's name, here at church, I know very often I feel like I set the bar pretty low, but a lot of our kids feel invisible. They feel invisible in their schools. They feel like nobody gets them. And to come to a familiar place and for somebody to pat them on the back and to call their name just reminds them that they are seen and that they are worthy. And so for so many of you, for years and years and years, you have walked either at a distance or some of you have walked very close to our students. And I am so thankful. So thankful for the investment that you have put into a kid's heart of really what is most important in life, and that they have worth and they have value. And as a congregant, as a member of our church, you are not insignificant in our students' lives. And as we progress as a church, I would love for all of us just to elevate that investment that we have in our kids. To be familiar with them, to be kind to them, to reach out to them, to speak to them every time that you see them. They're not just hairy-legged kids that run down to the end of the building. They're, in so many ways, they're our kids. And so I just want to say thank you so much for the investment that you've had that has gotten to them to this point. And even as a church, we'll talk a little bit towards the end, we have opportunities to continue to walk with them in their next phase of life. We'd love to invite you into that. And so as we think about this year's students and the amount of time that has passed since they came into this world and before they begin to move forward, one thing I do every year that just, it ages us, right? Around the time that these students were born, as they came into the world, Facebook came into our world. And Facebook has been around long enough that your grandparents are even on it. And I'm so sorry, right? I'm so sorry. I was talking to a friend of mine, and they had hacked into their parents' account just so that they could go in and delete things that their parents had posted because they were embarrassed and the parents never knew about it. So it has been around that long. When you guys were born, George Bush was president. And when you guys were born, one of the best movies ever came out, The Incredibles, right? So for those of us that are older, but this has been a bit of a season. And so as a student minister, one of the things that is heavy on my heart that I always try to anticipate and I've shared before, and I continue to share again because I want you to partner with me in this, is that I don't find much joy in just raising 15 to 16, 17, 18-year-old kids that follow Jesus well in high school. That has never been my goal. But my goal is to develop a faith that transitions to what comes next, whether that's college or whether that's the military or whether that's the workplace. But to have a robust faith that has its ups and downs and has its challenges and its pitfalls and is not seamless for any of us, but a faith that we launch from high school into adulthood and we continue the steady climb. That when they're in those college years, young adult years, that they're making decisions that are shaped by Jesus, that they're making friends that point them closer to Jesus. They're investing their time and their money in ways that would be honoring to Jesus. And that we don't get to high school and we just fall off a cliff only to pick our faith up 20 years later. I find no joy in that. And yet as we look at our culture, that's the rhythm that we're in. And so when I speak blessing over you for the investment, we're trying to build a bridge to get them from adolescence straight into adulthood and continue their faith. And to move forward and to maybe they're married someday and to be godly husbands and to be godly wives and that there's no break. Maybe it's a tough patch. Maybe it's a bit of a challenge. But that our students grow up to be our age. And if we look back at their faith, that it's just been a steady climb, a steady walk closer to Jesus. Their heart has been shaped more and more by who he is. And so today I want us to think about transitions. Today we transition our students from, in some ways, not research-based, but in some ways a pivot from high school to adulthood. And we have this conversation in at home all the time, and I talk to students, and they say, well, I'm 18 years old. It's not quite adulthood nowadays, right? We still have some unique challenges that we have to overcome. And so research is saying our students become full-on adults about 27 or 28 years old nowadays, right? So they have some challenges. And one of the challenging parts of talking about Senior Blessing Sunday is that so many of you guys are not graduating today. And so today I want to share a message that speaks to you also. Because in so many ways, as we transition our students today from adolescence into adulthood, it was just a few years ago that we were transitioning our kids from at home to kindergarten. And some of you guys were there this year, and it came with some challenges. I talked to parents whose kids are shifting from middle school to high school, and there are some challenges. Some of you guys are going from single into dating, and there are some challenges. And you're going from dating back to single, and there are some challenges. Some of you guys are taking your first job. Some of you guys are moving from this job to that job. Some of you guys are retiring from a job to retirement. There's a transition. There are some challenges. And sometimes we go from dating to married. And we go from married to getting older. Sometimes we go from married to divorced. Sometimes we'll go from healthy to sick, or not aching to aching. In reality, all of our lives are just one big series of transitions. That we're not static, we're not immovable, but we're going from season to season to season to season, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. But today is sort of a big day for our graduates, but in so many ways, we're just like them. Your life is a story of transition. Whether you're 14 or 18 or 57, all of our lives are a story of transition from one thing to the next. And today I want us to explore just a really simple truth that I think all of us need to hear, that all of us need to hear, that you're always leaving one chapter behind while moving on to the next. Several years ago, there was a movie that came out. And the ending scene, for anybody that had a heartbeat, was just atrocious. Atrocious for this cartoon, right? As a grown man, and you sit on the couch, and you fall in love with these characters, and you see this final scene as a grown man just sitting there just sobbing, right? It's just make-believe. But I think what that make-believe story did is it pointed us to a reality of what's happening, a reality that's happening in our churches and in our cultures, and especially in our children. Us as adults are not void of this issue, this problem. But this scene from Toy Story 4, right, you know what I'm talking about. In a hot mess there on the couch watching this. But Andy grows up, And he leaves the things that helped him navigate, the very things that gave him comfort and peace as a kid. But he grows up and he goes to college and he leaves them behind. Would it be fair to say that very often in life that this is our story? Not with toys and dinosaurs, Buzz Lightyear. But that very often as we transition in life from one thing to the next, that I've had the temptation in my life to leave God standing on the front step of my house as I leave to go to my next thing. And he says, you're not too big for me. You didn't outgrow me. I was the thing that sustained you. There was a season in life where I satisfied what you needed on those tough moments, on those tough relationships, on the heartbreak, that I was there and I was always present. And if you put me to the side or you put something in my place, I was always glad to come back out and fill the need. But that one of the things we're seeing in our young people that transitions all the way to adulthood is that when we leave and we head off into the next phase, is that we leave faith behind to go on to the next thing. And it's easy to talk about our kids, but how often do we do this as adults? That I leave to head into my career and faith became really less important. I got caught in the parenting years and faith became less important. I had a really difficult season and my faith became less important. I hope we're a church and a people that never, ever drive away and leave God on the porch step. And if you're anything like me, it's easy to do. This isn't just for pagans. This is for church people. To really leave a vibrant faith, a legitimate walk with Jesus where my life is anchored in Him and I'm pursuing Him, I'm being shaped by Him. That life can get so busy and so chaotic and move on to the next thing that we just sort of distance ourselves. Now we can still go to church, but this is not developing faith. This is a great place to begin it, start it. This is not the same thing as having a walk with in a relationship with the Lord. But as high school students and as adults, may we never drive away and leave our faith on the doorstep as we head into a new life. And so we think about transitions. I've always been somewhat fascinated and understand the engineering of them. I'm not quite smart enough. But today I just want to give you some pictures of what high school kids, your transition may look like. And as adults, some of these may be where we're sort of at now. So I want to pull you into the conversation. Bridges change the game. Today I entitled this lesson, From Here to There. And that bridges simply get you from here to there. And there's some rough stuff underneath you. But in all of our lives, we're moving from here to there. I don't know what your here is, and I don't know what your there is, but we're all moving in a direction. Some of it's super exciting. Some of it is super daunting and keeps us awake at night. Some of it's really challenging. Some of it's really lonely. And so today I want to give you some pictures just to maybe identify maybe where you're at. The Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco is one of these transitions that is iconic and it's gorgeous. Some people are able to go through life in a transition in bridges like this. It just seems to work. All the pieces just fall in place. It's iconic, and people look and say, oh, man, like they've just moved through life, and everything is so peaceful and so tranquil and iconic, and I wish I could transition from here to there in this kind of fashion. But all bridges aren't successful. The Tacoma Narrows Bridge, built in 1940, collapsed in 1950. It was a rough ride. There was a steady wind that blew that matched the frequency of the structure of the bridge and the steel I-beams began to oscillate. And if you watch a video, you can see cars that are trying, like zooming, just trying to get off the other side of the bridge. And some of you guys have had some transitions that look sort of like this. Something you thought was going to be really safe and secure, all of a sudden when you get in the middle of it, you realize this is really scary and it's really bumpy and I'm really, really afraid. Right, this is how some of our students feel right now about leaving into the next phase. As adults, some of us feel this way right now. We're right in the middle of this. I'm thinking, man, I thought retirement was going to be easier. I thought empty nesting was going to be easier, but I'm right in the middle, and it is super rocky, and it is super unstable, and how do we get from here to there? Lake Pontchartrain, 24-mile bridge, the Pontchartrain Causeway, is that sometimes our transitions are really, really long, and they're really, really lonely. Something that we thought was just going to take a few weeks or a few months, maybe we're a year in, and we're still not quite there yet. And that very often we feel like we're all alone, that we're the only one out in the middle of this vast lake, and nobody gets where we're at. But it's just a simple bridge from here to there. But it just takes longer. And there's not many people on the journey with you. And maybe you find yourself there. When I lived in Murray, Kentucky, Egner Ferry Bridge, I remember the night it happened. January 26, 2012, me and my wife had gone to a movie, and my friend David called me, and he said, "Bro, you're never going to believe what happened. Egner Ferry came down." And this cargo ship, which I've spent a lot of time on Kentucky Lake, never saw a boat like this, goes by the name of the MV Delta Mariner, had moved out of the shipping channel and gone through the recreational channel and caught Egner Ferry on the bow. And what we experienced living just 15 minutes is that what was supposed to be a quick trip from Aurora to LBL became a 60-mile detour. The path we were going on was no longer there. And so you would get to the bridge and you would take a left and you'd have to go all the way to the end of Kentucky Lake and you'd have to come back down. And how often does this happen in life? Right, that it's just a quick trip. I'm going from here to the next step, and then I'm going to be in, only to realize that the bridge is no longer there, and my plan, now I've got to do something totally different. And for several months, if not over a year, this is what people experience, right? And you're going to experience this in life, that it doesn't work out quite the way, and there are things that happen that you would have never envisioned happening that force you to go in a different direction. And then this bridge is a name that I can't pronounce, in the Austrian Alps. Some of you guys will have transitions that are full of adventures and you're going to have great people with you. I just don't know. I don't know. Right? If as parents, if we could govern that and shape that and just create a path, it would be a golden gate. It would be iconic from here to there and everything would be right. But we all know life doesn't happen that way. And so what do we do as a church? What do we do as high school kids? That we think we know what there is, but we're not sure how to get there, and we're not sure how the trip is going to be. And so today I want to share just a really simple idea out of Scripture that I think hopefully will connect and land and make sense to all of us. Several weeks ago in class, I taught this very similar material, and as I was prepping for today, I thought, man, that just works. And so today we're going to go back through this out of John chapter 20. And so in John chapter 20, life had taken a turn. Jesus and his disciples had been in ministry for 3 or 3.5 years. As a disciple of Jesus, man, you're in the it crowd, right? We've got the next king who's going to take over the Roman Empire. This is the guy. And we just got to be with him. Like, we got to be a part of the party. We got to be a part of the hype. And when Jesus walked in town, the crowds came, and they got to ride on his coattails. What a great day to be a part of Jesus' people until it wasn't. And as they sit back and they hear rumblings of an arrest, no way. No way are they going to arrest the king. Like, that is crazy talk until they're in the garden and they see the Roman centurions come and take him away and thinking, no way. Like, this is not how we planned on this happening. And they think there's got to be a way out until they see him in court to be found guilty. And as they see him pick up a cross and head out of town, you see, their plan didn't quite work out. So what do you do? And so we pick up in John chapter 20. And on that evening, the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, right? They're afraid for their life. Just a few weeks ago, being with Jesus was the life of the party. It was the way that we were getting from here to there. This was the way it was supposed to be. And then all of a sudden, life is turned upside down. And rather than being the life of the party, now they're hiding out behind locked doors, concerned of what may happen to them. They didn't see this coming. They had no idea that it was coming, even though Jesus had told them. And so they're hiding out with doors locked for the fear that the Jewish leaders. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And so on a Sunday, as they watch Jesus be crucified on a Friday, and they think that their story is over, and now they're hiding out, that Jesus shows up and gives them, I think, some really, really bad advice and says, "Guys, don't worry. Peace be with you." How many times as a parent have you given your kids really, really bad advice as your kid's falling apart over the calculus, and you're like, "Hey, don't worry about it." And how many of your kids go, "Oh, thank you so much. I don't know why I was worried. I'm done." Right? It seems like such bad advice. Right? Sometimes the answer to our problem seems very shallow, as if we had a switch that we could turn off. But Jesus here, knowing their hearts, and these guys are so fearful, and Jesus shows up and he says, "Calm down. Peace be with you. I need something more." And we move on, and then after this, he showed them his hands and his sides, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And so this story is just topsy-turvy, that we were with him and then we weren't, and he was arrested, he's dead, he put him in a tomb, and now he's back to life. Like, what is happening? This is so bizarre. And yet Jesus continues to show up, and he says, "Guys, it's me. Like, it's me. I know what you saw. I know what you experienced. I know the stories. I know the rumors that are going around. And I know this is too much to believe, that I was killed and I was buried and I'm resurrected and now I'm back with you. This is like outside of your imagination, but it's me." As if that solves the issue, right? Still highly perplexing that dead people rise. And that like, my mind can't capture. And Jesus comes back with great wisdom. And Jesus said, "Hey, I know it's a lot. I know you're afraid, and I know you're anxious, and I know you're scared. I know this is beyond your imagination." But Jesus, again, gives them the simple line, just "Peace be with you." And if I'm one of those guys, it's not enough. It's not enough. "Hey, I know this whole resurrection thing, it might be a little new for you, Nick, but don't sweat it. I got it under control." Like, my mind is exploding of what is happening here. And we've all been here, not in resurrection moments, but we've all been here where things are so chaotic and so confusing that a simple answer doesn't satisfy our questions. "Peace be with you." And then Jesus changes the game. These guys are hiding out behind a locked door because they're afraid. And Jesus ups the games and says, "Hey, I need you to get ready, because now I'm about to send you out. And you're about to go do the things that I've asked you to do. All the things that I've shaped you to become, I need you to go out. Like, we're not hiding anymore. We're leaving the house, and you guys are going to go be ambassadors to the world." That's a gear change. Didn't see that one coming. Fear is winning the day, and Jesus saying, "Hey, I need you to be courageous, I need you to be brave, and I need you to transition from here to there." What? We've been there. Right? We've all been there. I can't even envision how to move from here to there, and there's so many emotions and fears and chaos in the middle, and yet Jesus shows up and says, "Hey, I need you to move." And what Jesus does next is really the only thing I have to tell you today. And it's super simple, and yet incredibly complicated at the same time. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In Genesis chapter 2, God is the pinnacle of his creation. After God has spoke mountains into existence and blew whales and oak trees, at the pinnacle of creation, he gathers mud and shapes it and creates a human being named Adam. The pinnacle. But Adam is a lifeless corpse until Scripture says that God breathed into his nostrils and gave him life. Good-looking man, but had no way to go about doing the things that God had asked him to do until God breathed into him. And I imagine this picture, and in my mind, it's just a picture of a creator God taking a perfectly created human being and to gather him by the head, completely lifeless, with no hope. And for God to gee in his face and to wrap his mouth around Adam's nose and go, and Adam comes to life. Crazy. That without the breath of God, without the Holy Spirit, this perfectly created human being is lifeless on the ground, unable to do the things that God has created for him to do. In John chapter 20, we see a room full of lifeless men who are unable to process, who are unable to get from here to there, who are unable to be sent out to be ambassadors. And Jesus steps into the space and says, "Receive my Holy Spirit. I will bring you to life. I will help you walk through your uncertainty. I will help you navigate the complexity. I will give you the answers to your questions. But without me, your ability to leave your fear and to step in and be the person I created you to be, without the Holy Spirit, without my presence in your life, you are lifeless corpses hiding behind doors. I did not create you for that. Receive my Spirit." And so today, very simply, I want us to share two ideas. It's number one, that peace is not an idea, that peace is a person. Our world has fed us an enormous amount of lies about where peace is found. It's found in financial security. It's found in health. It's found when your kids do well in school. It's found when you look a particular way. It's found in your fashion. It's found in your cars. It's found in a plethora of places. And we're in the pursuit of having peace. And yet Jesus shows up and says, in your very worst moment, it's me and it's the gift that I give you of the Holy Spirit that allows you to move from here to there. There's the answer to peace. It's not an idea. It's not ethereal. It's not out there. Jesus says, "I am the peace that passes your imagination. I am peace." But so often, we go back to Toy Story and thinking that peace is in the academic pursuit, it's in the accomplishment, it's in the success, it's in the experiences, it's in the travel, it's in the freedom, it's in whatever college life, adult life has to offer you. And we leave the peace that passes all understanding on the porch step in pursuit of it. In John chapter 20, Jesus shows up and says, "Hey, in your very worst moments of getting from here to there, it's me. Don't walk away from me. Because without me, you stay behind doors hidden, and you never leave to go be the person I ask you to become." And then the last little piece is this, is that young people, don't walk alone. Jesus is not sending them out on their own merit, on their own academics, on their own effort, on their own skill, on their own ingenuity. He says, "I'm sending you out, but I'm going to give you the Spirit first, and that's what's going to empower you to do what I've asked you to do." Heading into adulthood without taking Christ with you is a lifeless corpse trying to figure out adulthood all on your own. It's a horrible experiment. Figuring out marriage without Christ is a horrible experiment. Navigating friends and sin and rebellion without Christ is a horrible experiment. Don't walk alone. Don't leave faith on a doorstep and move on to the next thing. We sang this song from Jenny Wilson. She wrote this in 1913. In 1913, she thought life was filled with swift transition. She ought to move to 2023. Life was pretty calm in 1913, I'm guessing. But this song that spoke to her generation, a song that we sang this morning, that life is filled with swift transition. We feel it, we get it. It is wicked fast, and it's moving faster than we can navigate. I had to text Meredith, like, how would you translate this in English? Not of earth, unmoved can stand, is that there's nothing in our experience that is not moving and shifting. And so in light of that, how do we respond? We don't build our hopes on the next step. We build our hopes on things that are beyond. We build our things on things that are spiritual. We build our hopes on things that are eternal, that are on heavenly, that are centered around the triune nature of who God is. That's where our hope is built. Not in what the world has to offer me in the next 4 years. And even though it's old language, it's timeless. In the middle of the transition, hold on to God. Don't leave him on the front porch step as you move from here to there. And so for our seniors, I hope you hear my heart. Man, you've got an incredible future that's out there, that's just waiting. You're going to have to navigate. It probably won't be quite as seamless as maybe you think it will be. I'm just asking you not to walk alone. That for the past 15, 20 years, that as a church, we have imperfectly tried to point you towards Jesus. Take him with you. Take a faith with you. Pursuit of things that are spiritual with you. And don't go empty. And as we wrap up today, in just a second, we will introduce our seniors and have them come up front and have a little bit more instruction. But we'll give you, I think, 4.5 minutes. Give you an opportunity to watch our students grow up. So we'll take a second to introduce our graduates and have them come up. And so first of all, we have Ashley Albanese. She is Alan and Carrie Albanese are her parents, and she is headed to the U.S. Naval Academy to study chemistry. Come on up. She's headed to U.S. Naval Academy to study chemistry. Good job. It's awesome. And next up, we have Casey Carden. Bruce and Susie Carden are her parents, and she is headed to Freed Hardeman to study education. Jesse Kleiber is a junior graduating a year early. Jason and Jeannie Kleiber are her parents, and she is headed to UC to study psychology to someday work for the FBI. Peyton Reinhart, Nathan and Rebecca Reinhart are his parents, and he's going to be taking a gap year and enjoying a little bit of freedom with no school and figuring out a game plan. Lily Wallbank. Jim and Jamie Wallbank are her parents, and she is headed to be a Boilermaker at Purdue and study kinesiology. And last is Sean Westerfield. Aaron and Kelly Westerfield are his parents, and he is headed to UC to study cybersecurity. And so we'll give the parents that awkward moment just for a minute to take a picture. So if all y'all sort of want to slide in, maybe make two rows here in the good light. If you're taller, step back. Yep, sort of right here. Parents, if you want to take a picture, I'll get out of the way. Outstanding. And so these, as you can tell, these young people are pretty spectacular. And so we'll end with a prayer over you guys today, and then you guys are free to head downstairs get ready for the onslaught. You good? All right. Father God, for these students today, we offer our richest blessing on them. Father, for whatever it is that they head to do, whether it's academics or whether it's work or wherever their path takes them, Father, we just simply pray that they do not leave you on the doorstep. Father, that your spirit would live inside of them and to help them to be fully alive to you and to the things that you want for them. Father, so thankful for the parents that see a chapter in some ways coming to an end, but just really shifting gears into a new way. Father, for the incredible amount of time and energy and tears that they've put into raising these young people, for the other people here at church that have just continually offered encouragement and blessing, we are so thankful. And so today we just hope that they feel honored, that they feel seen, and that they know that this church deeply loves them and values them. So we give you our day. May the conversations that happen in the lower lobby just create full hearts and let them know that they are loved. So thank you so much for the past few years that you've given us to walk alongside these guys and to teach and encourage and to be partners of the gospel with them. We love you and we give you thanks. And it's in Christ we pray. Amen. Yeah, so you guys can head on down and we'll be down in just a second. And so as we wrap up today, just a piece of what happens now. I would like to invite all of you guys to join us in the lower lobby. Some of you guys have been there. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you're like, I'm too old, right? I'm too old. I don't even know these young whippersnappers. But we want to invite you that, as I continually say, if you've never met our students, today would be an incredible opportunity for you to meet them. I know they're it can be a little awkward, but hey, we're church. We're just awkward kind of people. But for these guys to know, it thrills my soul to see Corey Crabb and Caleb and Alec and Cody Carden, and to see our college kids that while they move and they go and they do their own incredible stuff, is that as long as our young people live, is that Northeast would be a place that they look forward to coming home to. And it may never be their home again. But for the church that these kids grew up in, for this to be a place that they look forward to being. And the reason they look forward to being here is because of you. Because of who you are and because of who you have been in their life. And so today I just invite you in. We even have lunch for you. So it's better than McAllister's. But in just a second, we'll ask Brian to come back up and to close us out in a song. But really, it's as simple as heading down to the lower lobby. The kids will be set up at a table to go around. If you didn't bring anything for them, that's fine. The idea of a blessing was always that it's more spoken than written. And so your words today have power and significance. And just to go to be familiar, maybe to meet for the first time, if it's a student you know better, just to speak a blessing over them, the things you love about them, the things that make them special and unique and gifted in the eyes of God. And then once you visited and had time, as you can head out to the back patio. There's two tables. There's two boxes. One is a ham croissant. One is a turkey croissant, denoted with an H or a T. It's really easy. And then you're free to stay and go to the back patio and have some lunch and have some fellowship today. So thank you for being here. We invite you to be a part of our kids' life for just a few minutes this afternoon. And then later, as summer ends, we'll give our church an opportunity to even further step into our kids' life in something we call 100 Days of Blessing. So thank you so much for being here. Brian, you can come on up and wrap us up.